If you would, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 this morning. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to look at this here account in the Bible of a rich young man, a rich young ruler, here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, 'Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?'" Verse number 21 there. Come, follow me. Come, follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for a filling of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll use me here today. I pray, Lord, you give me your words. I pray, Lord, that everything that's done here and said will be for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we just want to praise you. We just want to worship you. And we just want to love you, Lord, the way you love us. And Lord, as we look at this account here in your word, I pray, Lord, you'll give me your words to pull your truths from your word out of here today. And you'll speak to hearts, Lord. And maybe there is somebody here that's never been born again. Lord, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. And we'll give you all the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text here today gives us a glimpse into one of the most fascinating accounts in the New Testament. A wealthy young man, a ruler, came to Jesus with a question. In verse 17, he says, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The account of the rich young ruler here is found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew, where Matthew says he is young, and in Mark, where he says he's rich, and in Luke, where he says he's a ruler. And so we call him the rich young ruler. Now this young man, he had everything. It would appear that he had everything, but he comes to the point where he realizes maybe there's something more to life. Maybe I'm missing something. And he had heard of a man. He had heard of a man named Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus and he presents him with this question. He goes to him for an answer. He comes to the very door of heaven, the very entrance to eternal life, the very door of heaven. But unfortunately, as we read the account, he turned away. He turned away from entering into that door. And by all accounts of what we know from the Word of God, he never was saved. He never was saved. And you know, the sad thing is we see this over and over in our day. We see this over and over in the church. We see this over and over in our work areas, in our families, in our communities, where we give a person the gospel, we give them the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's doing His work. He's convicting them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's convicting them of a need for a Savior. But so many times they come to church and they leave. We witness to them outside of church and they reject, they turn away. We bring them to the very door of heaven and they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they die, they go out into an eternity in hell. The rich young ruler came to the right person. He asked the right questions and he received the right answers, but he made a terrible, terrible bad decision. He made the wrong decision. You see, in the eyes of the world, He had everything going for him, didn't he? He was young. He was rich. He was a ruler. In the eyes of the world, he had everything going. And you might even think, what a success. But in the eyes of the Lord, and in the eyes of heaven, he was a complete failure. It's a complete failure. So today I'm going to give you four reasons. Four reasons why this rich young ruler did not come and follow Jesus. Number one, he failed to recognize who Jesus really is. He failed to recognize who Jesus is. Look there in verse 17 and 18. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.'" You see, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He came to the Savior. He came to the only one who could give him eternal life, the only one who could offer that to him. But this rich young ruler did not recognize who Jesus really is. You see, he did not address Jesus as Lord. He did not address Jesus as Savior. He did not address Jesus as even the Son of God. He addressed him here as Good Master. He says, "Good Master." You see, all that really means is a good teacher, a good rabbi, a wise man. You have knowledge. I can get knowledge from you, right? A good teacher. You see, that's all this rich man really wanted, was a good wise man that could tell him things to do so he could go out and work and earn his salvation. But Jesus responds to him and he says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." You see, Jesus is God. He is God's very own Son. He is the Savior of all mankind. And listen to me, when it comes to who Jesus is, your opinion of who He is does not matter. Your opinion of who Jesus is does not matter. The Bible tells us exactly who Jesus is. And Jesus presents Peter with the same question. And in Matthew 16, verse 16, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the only Lord. He is the only Savior. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is Emmanuel. He is the Christ. He is the Bright and Morning Star. He is the Lily of the Valley. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, when was not anything made that was made. And down in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is the Word. He is God. He is the Savior. And He's always been. He was not created. In the beginning, Jesus was there. He did not become. He was not created. He never had a beginning. He was in the beginning with God. And He never has an ending. He will always be. The Word was made flesh. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh and blood, 100% God, 100% man, all so He could come and die on that cross for you and I. There is no greater message. There is no greater message that could ever be proclaimed. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And this man missed it. He came to the very feet of Jesus and he did not recognize who Jesus was. In Isaiah 43:10, he says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. In verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He is it. This man came to the right spot, but he missed the fact that Jesus was the only Savior. Listen here today. Jesus is more than a good man. He is more than a good master. He is more than a good teacher. He is more than a wise man who you can glean knowledge from. He is the only Savior. In John 14, 6, Jesus proclaims, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Either Jesus is the only way or he's a liar. He didn't say he's one of the ways or one of the many ways. He says, I am the only way. He is the only way. You cannot get to heaven unless you come through him. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's it. There is no other name. Jesus is the only Savior. And you must recognize that in order to get to heaven. This rich young ruler missed that. He missed the fact that of who Jesus really is. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Hey, listen. You need to recognize who Jesus is. He missed the fact of who Jesus is. Let me give you a second reason why he didn't come and follow Jesus. Number two, he failed to recognize his sinfulness. He failed to recognize his own sinfulness. Look there at verse 19 and verse 20. It says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Hey, Master, I'm good. Is that all you got? I'm good. Oh, I've done all that. Oh, Master, if you don't have anything else, I guess I'm good here. We know people like that, right? I'm good. You see, me and God, we have an understanding. I'm good, right? Heard that before. But this young rich man here, he believed that eternal life was just something he could add to his resume. It was just another box he can check, another thing he could do just to get salvation. He could go out and earn his way there. But you see, Jesus went right to the heart. He wanted to show this man that he is a sinner. He wanted to show this man that regardless of what he owns, he had no righteousness to stand before a holy, righteous God. No matter how wealthy he is, no matter how many possessions he had, in the eyes of the Lord, he was spiritually broke. He was spiritually bankrupt. He had no righteousness. Right? All my righteousness is as filthy rags. And so Jesus wanted him to see that he was a sinner. So he went right to the law. He quotes him the law to show him his need for a Savior. I think you'll agree with me here today, if there's one thing that nobody's done, that man cannot do, it's keep the law. Man cannot keep the law. Man cannot keep the commandments. Nobody's ever done it except the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3:20, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So he uses the law to show the man that he's not really that good. He uses the law to show the man that he's a sinner in need of salvation. He's not telling the man here that keeping the law he could be saved. That's not what he's saying. In Galatians 3:24, the Bible says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our schoolmaster. It is teaching us the very fact that we can't measure up. We cannot keep up. We cannot add up. We cannot keep the law. We cannot do it. And the law shows us that we all fallen short of that law. We all fall short. In James 2:10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all. Hey, like this man, he tried to keep it all. Even though he was a very covetous man, he failed in everything. He failed at keeping the whole law. You see, the point is this. We either trust and obey God and follow God, or we don't. It's a choice. It's a decision. We either follow Him 100% total, or we don't. We cannot pick and choose out of His Word or the laws that we're going to keep and abide by those laws and throw the other ones to the side. We cannot do that. Hey, I keep these laws, so I guess it's okay if I don't keep these laws. No, we cannot do that. We cannot bring a scale and use a scale and say, okay, God, I'm going to keep this amount of laws. It doesn't work like that. We're guilty of all. We cannot add up. We cannot keep up. You see, the Bible says we've all broken God's laws. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've been witnessing to Madeline's granddad for many years. He's about 92, 93 years old right now. And the man says he's never sinned. He has never sinned. We talk to him. We show him the Bible. We show him everything. But he keeps going back to the fact that he's a good man, that he's never sinned. He's never sinned. If you have never sinned, you are in need of no Savior. Right? If you've never sinned. But you see, the Bible gives us a definition of sin. Right? It's always great when the Bible tells us exactly what something is. And the Bible tells us what sin is. If you don't know what sin is, here's a definition in 1 John 3:4. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. It means sin is breaking God's law. Pretty basic, right? Pretty basic. We've all had a bad thought. We've done a bad deed. We've said something bad. We've all sinned. It's pretty common sense. But not everybody thinks that. People think, oh, well, I'm good. Because they look around and they say, well, I'm better than them. I do more than them. I measure up higher. So I must not have ever sinned because I'm good. But the Bible says we've all broken God's law. We are all dead in trespasses and sin. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You heard that before? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You see, this man didn't recognize his own sinfulness. His own sinfulness. And nowhere in the Bible are we taught that a sinner is saved by keeping the law or selling his goods and giving his possessions away. Jesus was going right to the heart of the matter and attacking his covetousness. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, we look at this man and we read this account in the Bible. We might think that from every outward appearance, this man is pretty good. We might think, you know, this guy, he's climbing the corporate ladder. He's riding high on success in life. He's a real go-getter. He is going to be a success. I mean, think about it. He's that guy that we would all be proud to be. That's my son. That's my daughter. Right? We're so proud. They have a great job. They have a nice house, a nice car. Right? All those things. But if you looked at his life, you might think he had it all. But remember, appearance can be deceitful. Can be deceiving. God sees the heart. He self-righteously denied any sin. And he failed to recognize who Jesus was, and he failed to recognize his own sinfulness. You see, you and I must recognize who Jesus is. We must recognize our own sinfulness in order to need a Savior. He's the only Savior. Let me give you a third one here. The rich man here, the rich young ruler, didn't come follow Jesus because he failed to recognize what biblical salvation is. Look there at verse 21. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And all week I'm reading these verses here, and I come to that, and I just stop there. Because if you think about what's going on here, and you see here, and you see he comes to Jesus, and Jesus is there, and he just loves him. He just loves him. He already knows his covetousness in his heart. He knows his desires, but Jesus just loves him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus loved him. To have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ isn't enough to get eternal life. I had a head knowledge for a lot of years. You have to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior to realize who Jesus really is and what He really did on the cross of Calvary. You see, this young man came to Jesus Christ earnestly. He came running. He was eager. He worshipped Him. He honored Him. He reverenced Him. He came to the right place to obtain eternal life. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. I'm still stuck on that. Jesus loved him. But you know what? The man didn't love Jesus. He did not love Jesus. You see, people are not lost because of covetousness or any of those other sins. People are lost and dying and on their way to hell because of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 and 23, it says, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." You must believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You must see Jesus as Savior. You must see Him as Lord, not as a good master, not as a good teacher in order to be saved. You see, many people in our world today are still like the rich man. Many people are. Many people are. You see, they think that salvation is based on doing something. They have to do something in order to obtain eternal life. Whether it's join a church, whether it's get baptized, whether it's give, whether it's become a moral person. The list goes on and on. We could say things all day long, but none of it matters. None of it adds up. That is not biblical salvation. Right? Biblical salvation has always been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Listen, "not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not anything like that. "The just shall live by faith." You see, Jesus wants to give you that gift. If you've never received that gift, He wants to give you that gift today. The gift is eternal life. All you have to do is receive it. He's already gone to the cross. He's already died on the cross. He was buried and He rose again the third day, the gospel message. All you have to do is believe that He paid it all. He paid it all up there, and His shed blood covers all your sins. It paid for all your sin debt. He's already paid it all. All you have to do, the Bible says, is receive Him in John 1:12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You see, it's not about doing something. It's about what He's already done on the cross of Calvary. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him to take you to heaven, not yourselves. In John 3:36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Ooh, the wrath of God. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned." You see, the only thing keeping you from that condemnation, the only thing keeping you from that wrath of God is right here. One heartbeat. One heartbeat. If you've never received Jesus Christ, one heartbeat is all that's keeping you out of the pits of hell. Too many people these days, they think, "Oh, all religions will take me to heaven. No matter what I do, as long as I'm a good person, I'll end up in heaven." But that's not biblical salvation. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on the salvation. And verse 13 he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the glorious truth of salvation. You see, the Calvinists say, oh, you can't know. The Calvinists want to say it's only the elect. But for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord means anybody. For God so loved the world means everybody. That is open to you, to me, and to every person. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter where you're from. You can be on the other side of the world, and Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died on that cross. He was buried, and He rose again. And all you have to do is believe on Him. You see, I read that verse there in the love of Christ. Jesus just loved him. You see, we want to talk about the love of Jesus, and that's great. It is great. But the love of Jesus, the love of God, isn't enough to take you to heaven. The love of God isn't enough to take you to heaven if you reject Him. Like this rich man, he turned from him. Jesus loved him. He loved him. But that is not enough. He turned from him. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know you have eternal life, and it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. This man here, he failed to come, follow Jesus, because he didn't recognize who Jesus was. He failed to recognize his sinfulness, his own sinfulness. He failed to recognize true biblical salvation. And let me give you a fourth one here. He failed to recognize the unimportance of his possessions. His possessions really meant nothing. Well, they meant the world to him for a moment at that time. If this man died without ever coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, he died and he didn't take his possessions with him. His possessions didn't come with him. He didn't have a U-Haul behind him pulling stuff. His possessions didn't mean anything to him anymore. And over in his mind, I try to picture it. If he never came to salvation through Jesus Christ and he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment, all those things, all those possessions, that very moment where he stood before Jesus and he knew that Jesus loved him, all those things come into his mind over and over again. But this young man did not come and follow Jesus because he failed to recognize the unimportance of his possessions there. Look in verse 22 and 23. It says, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The Bible says he went away grieved. He was sad. He didn't want to part with his possessions, his riches. Let me tell you, riches do not bring happiness. All the good master talk he did, all the eternal life talk he did, it was really not sincere. He didn't really mean it because he wasn't all in. He didn't want to do what it took. He didn't want to do what Jesus told him to do. And in the end, he just wanted his riches more than he wanted his salvation. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of evil. It says the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Right? We've probably all lived long enough to see that happen in our world. We've seen that happen in this world with people, maybe family or friends or people we know. But this man here had his priorities in the wrong place. You see, Jesus attacked the heart. He went right to the heart of the problem, which was his covetousness, which was his greed, which was his lust after money, which was his desiring for possessions and more money instead of seeking God first. What does the Bible say about that? Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will provide. God will take care. We don't have to sit there and say, oh, I wish I had more money. Right? I wish I had more money. That's not going to make you happy. Happiness is what? He just told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, Jesus went to the heart. He attacked the heart. And what He did is He made this rich young ruler make a choice. He put him on the spot where he had to make a decision. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never received Jesus and you've come to church before and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. Hey, that Holy Spirit is convicting your heart that you need a Savior, but one day that conviction may be gone. You might wait too long. That Holy Spirit may not convict you anymore, but this man was forced to make a decision. And the decision was this. It was either choose Jesus Christ, do what He said, obey Him, trust Him, follow Him, or keep your possessions in the world and all of your temporal. It's all temporal. That's my point. It's all temporal. It only lasts for a season and then it's gone. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. Every time. See, in Matthew 6:24, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's the choice. He says you can't do both. This rich young ruler here had to make a decision. He had to make a choice. He chose the wrong decision. He made the wrong decision. He chose his possessions over Jesus. He chose money over salvation. Hey, listen, Jesus will allow you to do the same. He's not going to force somebody to get saved. He's not going to make you get saved. He'll allow you to keep whatever it is. Whether it's money or fame or fortune, or even if it's just pleasures or some sin that you're not willing to give up. One of the commandments you're not willing to give up. If there's sin in your life or even a family or bitterness or anger or depression. Right? Whatever it is you're not willing to give up. Hey, if you wait, you just might not ever have the opportunity to give it up. He just might let you keep it. He just might let you keep it. But ask yourself this question. Is it really worth your soul? Is it really worth more than your soul? As we look at this account, is it really worth dying? All those things are temporary. Is it really worth more than my soul? Nothing is. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The whole world. Verse 37 says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, that rich young ruler there, he went to the right place. He went to the right person. Jesus gave him the right answer, but he left the place where truth was proclaimed. He left the place where the gospel was given. He left the opportunity to receive eternal life. And how many people do we know that go to a church and they'll come in and they'll hear the gospel and they'll hear good Bible preaching and hear good music and not they'll just leave and go back out into the world. He came to the right place, but he turned and left wanting his riches. You see, riches do not bring happiness. They do not bring happiness. Wealth does not buy happiness. It will not buy your way into heaven. I mean, think about it. There are many wealthy people in our country. Many wealthy people, and we read about them on the news a lot, their lives are a mess. They're not happy. They're not content. They have no peace. Many of them, their lives are so messed up on drugs and alcohol and just sin, period. They have swallowed the lies of the devil. A lot of them end up committing suicide. But you read that and we think, man, they had everything. They had so much money. If only I had more money. If only I had this, I could be so much happier. But in the end, it doesn't make you happy. It leads to real death and destruction. In Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. In verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then he says in verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So my question today is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? What has your heart? Let me ask you that one. What has your heart? You see, where do you spend your money? That's where your heart is. Where do you spend your time? What do you spend your time doing? That's where your heart is. That's what has your heart. What are your thoughts on? That's what has our heart. Tough question, right? Where is our heart? But we can see where our heart is by answering those questions. Now maybe there's people here today that you say, you know, I'm kind of in the same place as the rich man. You know, from every outward appearance, my life looks good. Life has been pretty good to me. I'm pretty healthy. I have some money. I have a good job. I'm a good person. I do live a pretty good life. I live a clean life. You know, I go to church sometimes, all those things. But in spite of all those things, you know deep down in your heart there's still something missing. There's still something missing in your life, and maybe you are like this rich man here. You've come here today, you've come on the internet, and you're seeking salvation. What must I do to be saved? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to do. But from every aspect of your life, it looks good. But the inside is all messed up. Let me tell you, that's a terrible way to live. But let me tell you, it's an even more terrible way to die. So as I conclude here today on Come Follow Jesus, if you're not saved, please, in just a minute, we're going to have the invitation. You can come forward if you're on the internet. You could call me, call the church. We can show you how to be saved. But if you are saved, are you living your life in light of eternity? What has your heart? What are you spending your money on? What are you spending your time on? What are your thoughts on? That's where your heart is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Does Jesus have your all? Jesus is knocking at your door saying, come follow me. Does He have your all? Or is there anything you're holding back? Are you holding back any areas of your life today to where you cannot come follow Jesus? Do you love Him? Jesus loves you. He loved this man. But do you love Him back? Is there joy, peace, service? Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, come, follow Him. Come, follow Him. Let's pray.